This is like just walking right into a new world of beer. I've never had anything that quite hits what this does. This is amazing. This is really good. Welcome to Geek Beer.
Welcome. What? I'm usually the one that does that intro.
I know, but today I'm running the whole podcast.
Oh, God.
Also, dude, like, I noticed that recently you started adding a song at the beginning.
Yeah.
And I thought that since this is a special occasion, I got my own.
I find ways.
That's harsh, man. That's harsh. So, yeah, for whatever reason, I think Ethan was being lazy, and he decided he was going to let me run with the podcast this week.
This was, in hindsight, this was a bad decision.
Oh, God, it's such a terrible idea.
Well, it's worth noting before we start that it's been 9 days since our last podcast, since we recorded our last podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
But it'll actually be another
week and a half or something,
Until this is released. So, we apologize for the lateness of the beer news.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Since Ethan was foolish enough to put me in charge, I decided I wanted to do something a little bit different. Normally, Ethan will pick a couple of, like, a style running.
Should we
well.
Introduce ourselves, like we always do?
Who the fuck are you?
I'm Ethan.
I have no idea who I am.
And that's Tom.
Yo. Also, Eric's here.
Hello.
He's probably not going to say much, but he's here for other reasons tonight.
I'm here to save these two.
And now Tom's going to tell you why.
Buffer purposes. So tonight's podcast is not about, like, box or porters or what have you. Tonight's podcast is about high octane beer. I was just throwing up the horns right there, dog.
So you're talking about alcohol content?
Yes.
Wait. Whoa. Can I be the one that gets drunk this week and you can be the one that talks intelligently about beer?
Can't we do both? Can't we all just get drunk and talk intelligently?
I mean, in general, the level of intelligence goes down as the drinking goes
down. Things are going to get so much worse tonight.
And it doesn't start that high with us anyway.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God. So we're going to start off things a little bit slow.
Yeah.
Right, we're going to ease into this.
Yeah.
All right, with Stone's Old Guardian Barley Wine.
Which is?
11.3%, right? And so this is brewed by Stone. We've had a couple of Stone brews before in the past.
Yeah, we've had the Chocolate Stout, and we had the Stone IPA. Are we actually going to drink that whole thing? I mean, this is a 22-ounce bottle. The other three bottles we have here are only 12.
There's a reason why we have Eric here, and this is it.
Okay. Yeah.
Eric is here as our buffer to keep us from dying. It's got a nice dark color.
I think that's cool. A little bit of chill haze.
It smells really hoppy in a good way.
Yeah.
It doesn't have a sharp hoppy smell, but it's got a very deep hoppy smell.
Yes, and you can smell the alcohol coming off it, too.
Oh, yeah.
Got that sort of sweet alcohol smell along with the hops. It's good.
This beer is fantastic.
Oh, it is really sweet. It's really bitter.
Oh.
It's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is actually pretty fresh, isn't it? This hasn't really been sour.
They make a new one every year.
Okay, this is the 2009.
This is the 2009.
Wow. So this is actually remarkably well-balanced, even for such a fresh barley wine.
And you know what I taste a little hint of? Taste a little hint of that strawberry flavor at the very end of the finish that we got off of your homebrew.
Let me turn on my strawberry dog.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm not getting any strawberry.
You're not getting any strawberry. Yeah. You just did that to be a dick.
It goes down like a very strong pale ale, but it does not have that strong hoppy flavor that I would associate with an IPA, which means it's a very strong beer, but it doesn't have the characteristics of an IPA. Like a lot of barley wines do. We went to a barley wine festival.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of the barley wines we tried tasted like, you know, pretty much like truly strong IPAs.
I mean, it's got more bitterness to it than a pale, but it does sort of have that sweetness of character to it, and it doesn't really. I would never classify this as an IPA.
This is good. I could drink quite a bit of this. It's really well balanced.
Yeah, and the nice thing about this is, you've got your bottle. You said you might actually store it for a while.
Yeah, I've got a bottle of this. It was just coincidence that we both picked one up. I've got a bottle. I think I might cellar it for a little while. See how it tastes in a year.
And that's the cool thing about barley wine is that you actually can't. I mean, that's why they call it barley wine, because you can actually cellar it like you can cellar wine.
I like this. This is really good. The only problem is we have too much of it.
Yeah.
It's
well, that's going to be a continuing problem throughout the course of the evening.
It's really bitter, and it's got a big flavor to it.
Oh,
really, really sweet backbone, great finish, and that hoppy aroma. And
this isn't like some like high alcohol beers where just sort of like the alcohol is intensified. Yep. This is really like they took a beer and they concentrated it down.
And I sort of want time to savor it. And we've got three more beers to get to.
Yeah, we don't have time for you to play your little stupid savoring games.
Yeah, like a lot. It'll be interesting to see how it cellars, to see if that hop bite goes away.
When you cellar a beer, do you typically cellar it like you'd cellar a wine? Or do you keep it in the fridge?
You know, I actually, I'm listening to a podcast right now called Brew Strong, but they were recorded an episode where they interviewed a professor of beerology. He talks a lot about oxygenation. Best way for any brewer, brewing on any scale, to make sure that their beer does not go funky, like make sure their beer does not oxygenate over time, tastes like cardboard, is to keep it cold. It was interesting to hear because now I'll have to go read up about how to cellar a beer. Like, when you're cellaring a barley wine, do you keep it cold? I don't know. So we'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't have any idea.
Are you planning on keeping it cold?
I was planning on keeping it cold until I find out otherwise.
Oh, well, good plan.
Also, I'll write that down. How to cellar a barley wine.
That's a good beer. I'm going for the dregs at the bottom. That was tasty.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
No. Geek Beer recommends all the Stone brews we've had so far.
Oh my god, yeah. Stone is fantastic.
I think they've all been fairly bitter, so if you don't really bitter beer.
Well, no, the chocolate one was not. That was actually really sweet.
It was bitter for a malty beer.
Yeah, for a chocolatey beer. Okay. Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, it was not Stone caliber.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
Bitterness.
We agree then. All right.
Yeah, we're on the same page. Don't you worry.
No worries.
You need to finish that.
I've got like 3 tablespoons left. I'm just really impressed by the balance in this beer.
It is a... Man, I would get this again. Anyway.
All right. So it's been about 13 minutes since we started drinking this beer.
Ethan is still chewing his way through it.
Now I'm going to finally try to finish it. Tom and Eric have already finished theirs. So yeah.
Our next up is the Belzebuth Extra Forte. This is from... I'm going to horribly mispronounce this name. It's from the Brasserie Grand d'Orog in France.
So how many ounces is this bottle?
This is actually a small bottle. This is 25 centiliters.
Hey, Google, how much is 25 centiliters? 8.5.
Holy crap.
8.5 ounces.
So this is an 8.5-ounce bottle. This was also about $10. Again, so everything was about $10.
I've actually read a bit about this beer, and from what I remember, people don't like it.
It's mixed. The beer advocate rating, by the way, though, is a B+.
Okay, well, yeah. Maybe the people I've been reading are all biased against the French beers.
The ratings are very mixed, I will say that.
I mean,
some people love it and some people don't.
Let's be fair, the French are not really known for their beer.
That is very true.
Wow.
Of course, very orange.
Extremely orange. It's very clear, though. I wouldn't say that's macro brew clear, but it's definitely high flocculation yeast clear. I mean, there's only, 2.5 ounces in this glass?
Yeah.
It's got a decent head on it.
It does. Whoa. Smell that. You can smell the alcohol. I know before, like, in the other one we said, you can smell it. This, you can,
13%?
And it's not that high. It's not that much higher than what we just had. It's only about 1.5% higher.
But, yeah, that's about all I'm getting off of it. It's a little orangey, actually, just like the color.
Ooh, man. That is a rough... It's like malt liquor type.
Yeah, it's not a great smell.
You're just trying to blow the alcohol off the top of your...
Yeah, I'm trying to get to effervesce a little something other than alcohol.
Yeah, I'm just getting a lot of alcohol in there.
Yeah, that's not a great smell.
It really isn't. I'm already a little worried. I'm a little worried that the extra forte here on the label might actually refer to the fact that this is fortified in some way. So,
all right, well.
Beer Advocate gives it a B+, so let's go ahead and take a sip and see if it makes us vomit. Wow.
Huh.
It's really sweet. I don't get any of the alcohol, by the way, in my mouth.
Yeah, it's got a huge malty sweetness. Like it's like a Bock.
Yeah.
Like an ultra mega double Bock.
This is like, I feel like I accidentally poured like 2 or 3 tablespoons of sugar in here before I took a drink. And
yeah.
And this, again, we're only drinking about two and a half ounces apiece. Yeah.
I have to say, it actually tastes it's got a flavor profile a lot like a Bock, with that malty sweetness, with the alcohol backbone. Yeah.
Well, technically, it's a Belgian strong pale ale.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is it tastes like a Bock, but it's got the mouthfeel of a pale.
I mean, I'm looking at the flavor profile that you typically expect to see, which is a lot of hop and malt character, spiciness, potentially.
Wait, this is from Beertown?
This is from Beer Advocate's listings on this. And I'm not getting... any of that.
There's no hop in here.
There's no hop in here. There's no malt in here. It's just really sweet. I mean...
Yeah, take a really small sip of it and sort of swig it around in your mouth a little. It's got sort of a brandy characteristic to it. Like, it's that sort of sweetness, right?
Yeah. Anyway, one of the other things I mentioned on there is that Duvel is the sort of the quintessential example of the style. And that a lot of other brands will try to sort of mimic them, not just in terms of their flavor profiles, but also... the devil.
Yeah, that's right on there on the logo.
Yeah, right there on the logo, they've got a dancing devil here. I don't think this tastes anything like Duvel.
So, number one, I would say, do not take large mouthfuls of this.
No.
It tastes bitter.
I would also say perhaps...
not good at all.
But as a second note, do not even take small mouthfuls of this. I don't think I would recommend this beer.
I don't think so either, but it's definitely not
bad, but I mean, it's $10. Like I said, everything I got was about $10. So it's about $10 for an 8-ounce bottle. It's not worth what you'd have to pay to get it.
Anyway, I don't really want to finish this. It's not that good. The head is really watery. The beer doesn't have a lot of body. It's really, like, this tastes like an under-modified, or not under-modified, but under-distilled hard liquor. Do you agree with the Beer Plus, the Beer Plus rating?
The B Plus? No, no. This is like a C minus.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm going to finish this, the last of this, and you're going to open the next one?
We're opening our next one. The next one is The Beast Grand Cru. So yes, this is The Beast from Avery in Colorado, and this, we're moving up into the next level of consciousness. 16.31% alcohol. They actually went to not just the 10th, but the 100th of a percent. I was actually a little confused by the Grand Cru, because I typically think of that as being a description you use for wine. And so I had to look into it. Apparently, Belgian brewers use it a lot when they're talking about sort of their cream of the crop.
Right? So Grand Cru doesn't just mean, it's not just a wine moniker, it actually means something.
Well, typically what it actually means in terms of wine is it's a reference to, you have to be certified Grand Cru.
Oh,
okay. And so it means that you are growing your grapes in a region, typically, or has historically had, you know, good growing seasons and produces a good quality product.
Sure, sure.
So you have to be certified to be Grand Cru in wine.
Okay.
When it comes to beer, however, it's just an indicator of, you know, this is our top shelf product. This is sort of what we make that sort of defines our brewery the best.
Huh, wow.
And so they consider this The Beast to be the best of what they do. So we're going to have to try this and then decide whether or not...
That's assuming they're using the Grand Cru moniker.
They might just be using it to sound pretentious and snobby. Yes, that's the other option.
All right, but we're gonna sample this and decide whether or not we should try other Avery brews. That's
and so this is, say. Again, this is another Belgian style. This is the Belgian Dark Strong as opposed to the Light Strong that we were sampling before. And as you can tell, already the color is a lot darker.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Also, the head is not as weaselly and disgusting.
No, it's actually a meaty head.
This is batch number 6, bottled in 2008.
It's fairly clear, just slightly cloudy, and it's a deep red copper color.
They used quite a few different types of sugar to make this.
2-row malted barley, honey malt, and imported Belgian specialty grains, aromatic pale wheat, roasted wheat, and special B. They use Magnum, Galena, Saaz, Hallertau, Tettnang, and Hirschbrucker hops. Brewing sugars, including raisins, dates, blackstrap molasses, alfalfa honey, turbinado, and dark Belgian candy sugar.
This is either they really knew what they were doing, or this is going to be a giant clusterfuck of a beer.
Let's see what it tastes like.
I'm very curious. The smell, again, I'm getting a lot of alcohol, but not as...
Yeah.
It's not the rough kind of alcohol smell.
And there's a lot more sweet malt here.
Oh, yeah. I'm ready to try this. I'm
curious. Want to try it?
Because I don't think we're going to get a lot off the nose of this.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, wow.
That's quite something.
Yeah.
I need to be alone for a moment.
I'll be in my bunk.
There is a strong molasses finish on that beer.
The second it hit my tongue, by the way, I was just immediately sort of overcome by this.
Yeah, I think you could tell by the silence.
Yeah. Wow. I think, as I said before, this is either going to be something special or a clusterfuck, and this is something special.
Yeah, this is quite impressive.
I'm really impressed with this. I mean, the mouthfeel is thick.
It's almost extremely like thick. Yeah. The alcohol is, I would say, this is the first beverage I've ever had, besides some select cocktails.
Yeah.
Where the alcohol is a complement to the rest of the flavors.
I can see that.
I mean, this is quite impressive, really.
I mean, I've had some high alcohol beers before, and typically they're more of a novelty. Right? A lot of the high alcohol beers. Like, definitely this Belzebuth is a novelty beer.
Yeah.
At 13%.
The other thing about this is, hold on.
He has to take a moment with this beer. Bear with him.
It starts vanilla and then sort of melts into like a vanilla malt, like a dark vanilla malt.
Yeah.
And then sort of it finishes with that molasses flavor. And really, the molasses finish, I'm sorry, unfucking mistakable.
Yeah.
I could go get a spoonful of molasses and you would know what I was talking about.
This is why I feel sorry for people who drink only like Budweiser their entire lives. Because that hits your tongue the same way that it ends up leaving your mouth. Yeah. You know, yeah. Nothing changes across the taste.
Oh, that's a good point. This is a beer where it's a very significant change from beginning to end.
Yeah, it rolls across your mouth, and it creates a tidal wave of flavor along the way.
I could drink this in small sips for a good long time. There are no hops here at all, as far as I can tell.
I mean, I'm sure they're in there. I mean, they mentioned them extensively,
I think they provide a bitterness that balances the sweetness a lot, but they don't act as a major flavor.
They're not the dominant flavor.
Yeah. Which is probably why there are so many varieties, right? Like, they're probably just using hops to balance other flavors, so they don't care what varieties they use.
That's probably true. You know what? I'm going to say this right now. I think this actually shows why Beer Advocate's rating system is completely fucking broken. Because every beer we've had tonight is a B+.
You notice how we're finishing this one much more slowly than we finished the first two?
I would just like to say right now to the Avery Brewing Company, I love you.
Yeah.
I will drink anything you bottle. I don't care if you piss in a bottle and, like, bottle it and send it to me. I will drink it.
We're definitely going to go to Bottle Works and buy some more Avery Brews. This is quite impressive.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm making a note.
Do not forget to go to Bottle Works and buy Avery Brews.
Yeah, this is just one of those beers. It's got a sweetness to it, but it's not adequately described by saying malty sweetness.
Yeah.
They're not shitting you when they say they've used, like, 8 different kinds of sugar. You know, raisins, dates, blackstrap molasses, alfalfa, honey.
There's definitely a lot of sort of, I don't want to say fruity sweet. I mean, it is a fruity sweetness, but it's a darker fruity sweetness, like what you get with raisins.
Yeah, or dates.
Or dates, yeah.
So are we going to finish this one? All right, that's what I like to hear.
Oh, fuck, don't gargle this beer.
Why the fuck?
Oh my god.
Why did you just gargle such an awesome beer?
I don't know.
I'm sort of offended.
All right, so we've reached our final beer for the evening.
I'm glad, by the way.
Crybaby. This is the Dogfish Head 120-minute IPA Imperial India Pale Ale.
Probably one of the most famous craft...
You just start over.
It's probably one of the most famous craft brews.
You stole that from me.
Well, you were shitting it up.
It's probably one of the most famous craft brews out there.
Yeah.
Dogfish Head as a brewery has created quite a stir by creating extreme beer. And this is...
The extremist of the extreme.
You know, I'm not sure about that, but it's definitely their flagship extreme beer.
Before I open this up, I just want to mention that this blows every other beer that we've had tonight out of the water in terms of alcohol content.
Yeah.
With a 20% ABV. I'd also like to point out, they don't print the ABV on the label.
Yeah.
Because the way that they brew this, it changes from batch to batch. They have a special sticker on the back for the 20% ABV. I've seen people who have reviewed this where it goes up to 22 to 23%.
It's really quite impressive. I've read a lot of speculation online that says they spike it. And there's actually, at least, you know, in some of the beer forums that I've read, it gets contentious. Like, people are pissed that other people might accuse Dogfish Head of spiking their beer.
Yeah, here's what we talked about this a little bit earlier. I read somewhere where people were talking about how they'd managed to replicate this at home. And you mentioned that it gets really actually hard to measure alcohol content with homebrew once you get up past a certain alcohol content.
Yep. Well, I think more importantly, it's with just yeast, it's really hard to figure out how alcoholic your beer is, or to even measure.
Yeah.
Or to even predict how alcoholic your beer is going to be. But to brew a 20% ABV beer, you have to have a yeast that's going to survive up to 20%.
Yeah.
And at least to homebrewers, there are very few such yeasts available. You can get yeast from white yeast has a special going on right now, where they will sell 3 seasonal yeasts, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And they each go up to, and they're advertised as high gravity yeasts, and they each go up to 12% ABV.
Yeah. So here's a couple things I'd like to point out about this beer before we get into it. One is that on the label, they actually mention that, you know, this is a beer that you can either enjoy now or age for up to a decade. And they hop the hell out of this. So they hop it pretty much continuously for the full 120-minute boil.
Yes.
And then for the first 30 days afterwards, they hop the wort. Crazy. Every day.
Really?
Every day. Yeah.
Every day.
Every day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fucking hops, dude.
That is a lot of fucking hops. And but the thing is, the nice thing is, I guess, when they dry hop it, you don't get a lot of the bitterness. You just get a lot of the flavors aroma. And the aroma.
But I haven't smelt it yet, but I'm excited. Cloudy. This is supremely cloudy. It is opaque. Yeah, it's a pretty actually typical pale ale color, but it is. I mean, it looks homebrew cloudy, if not more.
Oh,
how's it smell?
It smells like the best IPA you've ever had with a shot of vodka in it.
What? I will evaluate your analysis. You're totally right.
Yes!
Actually, what's interesting about this is it doesn't just smell like vodka that I hit with a bunch of hops.
This isn't a beer that I'd want to keep smelling. I remember there were a couple of the IPAs that we had where, like, literally I'd rather smell it than drink it.
Oh, God, yes.
Like, because I knew as soon as I drank it, I couldn't smell it anymore. and the old Guardian actually had a great aroma to it.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Every other beer we've had tonight, the aroma's kind of been shit.
Not been great.
But that's because it's effervescing so much alcohol that probably, you can't get anything else off of it.
Actually, we better drink this pretty quick, otherwise we're...
There's nothing left.
Yeah. All right.
It's going to boil away into space.
Let's try it.
Whoa.
Holy shit.
I would not describe this as an IPA at all.
Wow, no, it's really very sweet.
Really sweet.
I mean, it's... Wow, that hop bitterness aftertaste is really strong. But the,
Really? Because the alcohol kind of killed it on my tongue.
Oh, it's really coming through. Let's be honest here. Dogfish Head 120 minute IPA is an extreme beer.
Yeah.
And there's some contention in the beer community about extreme beer and how people perceive extreme beer and whether or not extreme beer is even like a reasonable thing to exist.
Yeah.
This is an extreme beer. To classify it into any of like the typical Beer Town guidelines is probably not reasonable.
I understand. This is so, yeah. I would not call this an IPA, however.
No.
I understand why they do.
I think in a blind taste test, I would not identify this as an IPA. I would identify it as like a... Actually, it's very similar to the Belgian Strongs.
Yeah. I mean, not in color, obviously, because the color is very sort of... Well, it's a cloudy amber orange.
Yeah. I would identify this as a hoppy Belgian Strong. But it's not as hoppy as I would anticipate.
I don't know. I would say for all of the hopping that they do on this, I'm having a lot of trouble discerning a lot of the hop character.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's really more sweet than hoppy.
It really is. I think it's a little too sweet.
Yeah, you know, what I'm actually really surprised about is the aroma. For a 120-minute IPA that's hopped for 30 days, I expect it to smell like hops. I expect to have that fresh hop aroma.
I know. We've had some beers before in the past that have amazing hop aroma.
Yes.
The hops are completely lost in here. But again, this is another beer, again, rated as a beer, beer plus, a B plus.
A beer plus.
B plus by Beer Advocate.
Are you sure that Beer Advocate doesn't think the B stands for beer?
I have to say, this is not the best beer we've had tonight.
This is good, but it's not something that we get every day. This is a B beer.
This is pretty sweet.
It's too sweet.
And not hoppy enough.
No.
I think if I had to rate these beers tonight, I would say the Beast was my favorite, the Stone was my second favorite. The Dogfish Head, third, and then the Belzebuth, way.
It's like sixth. Yeah, sixth or seventh.
Sixth, yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, if anyone from Avery is listening, we love your beer. You can put that on your website and shit, or, you know, you can...
Endorsed by Geek Beer.
Or you can pay to advertise with us.
All right.
So we got beer. It's time for Geek Beer News. What? I think the problem with beer news right now is that we're all just trash.
Yeah, I think that's...
Fair enough. All right, we do beer news some other time. All right. Well, I think we're gonna skip beer news today because we're all a little drunk.
Yeah.
And we'll be back with another, fantastic iteration of beer news some other time.
Beer news is gonna be like back with a vengeance and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So is this it? Are we calling it a day?
I think we're calling it. We got about half a glass left of this Dogfish Head.
I'm pretty wasted.
And you
right
can probably
now.
Tell by my slurring of speech. Loopy.
Let's give it to your cat.
We're gonna hand it over to the cat. Finish up the night.